Good morning. Firstly, thank you very much for the warm welcome and the kind words. I don't usually take kind words very well. I usually just hide away. But yeah, it's very humbling to be here today and even to come up the driveway and just to be greeted and be welcomed here in Rosedale. Sarah and I, previous to having kids, have travelled throughout New Zealand and lived in different places and all around the world. And we've always connected ourselves to a local church, wherever that may be. And I sense and I know that wherever we have fellowship, that we've left a piece of our heart there. And I know that our heart is here as well. I thank you for the investment that you've had in our family, in our spiritual walk, to be standing here today and to, in some ways, give something back to encourage you and to also just highlight some of the things that God has been doing in our life and where he's been moving. Today's message, I understand that you're going through characters of people in the Bible on faith, or their faith character. And I've chosen Abraham, and I've called it, this today's talk, Faith with No Regrets. And I'll touch on that a wee bit later. But standing here today and to be involved in Sports Shepherds in New Zealand and the ministry, when we got into it, the big decision that came down to whether we got involved or not is I didn't want to be in my 60s and 70s and look back and wonder, what if? So today's talk is faith with no regrets. I love this quote. It's about Abraham. It says, he appears as both a man, a great spiritual depth and strength, and yet a person with common human weakness and needs. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I read the Bible and read of these great superheroes and characters in the Bible, it's very easy to put a distance between yourself and the person that we read. And sometimes it's hard to find a comparison between where I am and where that person was. That this person in biblical faith and terms is this great man or a great woman, how can I ever reach that? But reading this, it breaks that. That like me, I am on the way of growing in my spiritual depth and in strength. And yet I am a person of human weakness and needs. And Abraham was the same. It gives us great hope that, yes, we can look up to our biblical characters that we read about. But we can be assured that God can use us the same way through our weaknesses, wherever we're at. So today we're going to explore Abraham's character of faith, which shows his obedience and trusting God and acting on God's instruction in the sacrifice of his son Isaac. As we read Abraham's journey with Isaac to the altar, my prayer is that we may be encouraged in our own faith walk, that we can make the correct decisions to not only follow God's calling in our lives, but to live and trust the process, even if sacrifices are needed to be made along the way. Living a life of faith with no regrets does take sacrifice. It could cost us our time, our relationships with a loved one, a change of careers, saying no to the things we enjoy. But when we are faithful and obedient to God, our faith in these moments pleases him. Though we might have times of hardships along the way, there will always be plenty of blessings. Some for us, most of them for others, for those lives that we are encountering with and able to touch through our faith-filled actions. When we live and breathe by his word, we don't need to fear anything. Instead, we can trust in verses like in Romans, that in all things, God works for the good for those who love him, and whoever being called according on his purpose. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we know that you're here with us today. Thank you that you have eyes to see and ears that can listen, that you can hear our hearts and where our spirit is right here, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you'll give me wisdom, compassion, and love as I share this message today, Lord, that today we can go away encouraged of who we are in you, Lord, but also know the greatness of your love that you have for us. In your name, amen. Amen. I love this story. It's a bit funny. Well, I think it's funny, so hopefully you do as well. It's called Faith Without Action is Dead. It's about a man who was driving along on a lonely country dirt road on a very hot summer's afternoon, came upon a woman with a flat tire. Wanting to be a good Samaritan and offer a good deed, he pulled over to the shoulder of the road to assist her. She was very grateful that he had stopped by, since she didn't know anything about changing tyres. I'm not saying that all women don't know, but this particular one didn't know much about changing tyres. So the man loosened his tie and in the heat of the summer sun, jacked up the car and changed the tyre. When he was finished, he was sweaty, his hands, his white shirt and pants were dirty, but he felt good about helping a stranded motorist. Wouldn't you? When he was all done, the woman asked, "Can you please let the jack down easily and quietly? Because my husband is sleeping in the back seat." Isn't it funny that when we give ourselves out to do a kind gesture, that sometimes the result is not what we expected? I'd just like to read in Genesis the story of Abraham being tested. It's in chapter 22, verses 1 to 18. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he sent out the place that God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld me from your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On that mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this, you have withheld your son, your only son. I will surely bless you and make you descendants of numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities and their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Amen. This chapter is called God Tested Abraham. I wonder why, or why did he do that? You know, it wasn't to trip him up or to watch him fall, but it was to deepen his capacity to obey God, and this to develop his faith character. Just as fire refines ore to extract precious metals, God refines us through difficult circumstances. I wonder when you're tested, now, how do you react? And it usually goes two ways. Either we turn the other way, or we complain about it, or do we try and see how God is stretching us to develop our own character, growing towards spiritual maturity? Have you ever wondered when reading a story like this of what it would be like, you know, being in Abraham's shoes? I wonder if you've even thought about what it would be like mentally, or physically, or spiritually for him, to both process this trip, but then go through the next 3 days knowing what would happen on arrival. Beersheba to Jerusalem is 50 to 60 miles. When you translate that, it's about 96 kilometres. If you Google it, if you walked it, it would take 19 hours and 13 minutes. If you decided to have a nice Sunday stroll after church before lunch, you'd walk out of church, you'd head towards Queenstown, and you'd end up at Five Rivers Cafe. Fancy lunch there in 19 hours, 13 minutes? I might be 24 hours. But I'm sure there's physical challenges, mental challenges, and there's spiritual challenges that go with that. I wonder what the conversations would have been like for those 3 days. Between as a father and a son. It's important to note that over the years, Abraham had learnt many tough lessons about the importance of obeying God. And even though we may try and imagine ourselves in Abraham's shoes of what it may look like or feel like for him, in which we can say, well, God will never ask that of myself, to sacrifice my son in that way. But you see, Abraham had a track record. He had a track record in building his obedience to God. And this time when God has tested Abraham, his obedience was prompted and it was complete. In Corinthians it says, God won't allow you to be tempted or tested beyond your strength, in which we can take great confidence in. I don't know you, but I mean, I take confidence in it, but I struggle with that verse. Because sometimes trials are just too hard that we face. And some of them have consequences to ourselves, to our own health, and maybe to even others. But we can trust that when we read any word in this Bible, it's God-breathed. And verses like this, we can hang on to them, no matter how tough life may seem, or however big the challenge may be. So when we read about God testing Abraham in this way, it reflects in how God sees his level of faith and obedience. Through diving into the story, I love the level of faith and obedience Abraham shows and how God comes through at the end. We read in verse 7 that Isaac asks, "Where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." The two of them went on together, and in verse 9, when they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar, arranged the wood, bound his son Isaac up, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Can you imagine the process, the physicality of this tying Isaac up, your son? Now you sort of, how does Isaac feel about this? And being lifted up, knowing by now that himself was going to be the sacrificial lamb. As Abraham reached out his hand and took his knife to slay his son, an angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know you fear God, because you have not withered from me your son, withheld from me your son, your only son." Not only did God save his own son, God provided a ram. that was caught by its horn on a thicket. And we read that Abram went over, he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. Abraham called this place, "The Lord will provide." I love the end of it as well, about the blessings that God promised. And sometimes we don't know what the end result of our sacrifice will be. But in God's eyes, those promises will come, whether we see them in our time or not. The angel appeared from heaven a second time, and because Abraham didn't withhold his son, his only son, he was blessed by God to make his descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the shore. All nations on earth will be blessed because we have obeyed me. It takes faith and obedience to be in a place to hear from God. And when we do, it's still easy to turn the other cheek. But can I encourage you that when you find yourself in a place and hearing him, do an Abraham. When God calls out, Sarah, Maury, Doug, will your answer be, "Here I am"? For us, and like Abraham, the blessing that comes in responding to God, "Here I am," strengthens our trust in him, it draws us closer to him, and grows our character and faith. And through this act of obedience, I reckon responding with a "Here I am" is a win-win. Would you agree? And it far outweighs any hardships that we may feel or ever imagined that could be along the way. Having a faith with no regrets, it is tough and can be uncomfortable and sometimes just downright inconvenient. But yet, it can be an exciting venture at the same time. What faith with no regrets does do is that it provides plenty of elbow room and space for God to shape your character, your faith, and to be more Christ-like for him and toward others. I love it how God uses each of us, no matter where we're at, or what level of faith or understanding that we may have. But wherever you're at, please know that God gets a kick out of you, that he is pleased with you when you're obedient to him. I'd just like to give you 2 points. I'm not too sure if you're note takers. If you want to take anything away, if you want to write it on your phone, I'll try and talk slowly for those people with fat fingers like me, or no end of finger like me. Point one, faith becomes perfect through obedience. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is an essential part of our Christian life. And being obedient to him and having any spiritual change cannot occur without it. So faith is a very important factor in our life of faith, in our walk. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we live by faith, not by sight." You know, 5 years ago, I was down at SIT working. And a man from this church tapped me on the shoulder and said, "There's this group called Sports Chaplains in New Zealand coming into Invercargill. Would you be interested to go along?" He knew that I played a bit of sport, and it sort of met with my own interests. So I went along, and that's where it all started, to be standing here today with Sports Chaplains in New Zealand. It actually started probably about 3 weeks earlier than that. I'm not a dreamer. I mean, you know, when you go to sleep and you dream, not daydream. Maybe I'll probably do that as well a wee bit, but I had this dream, and I've never had a dream like it before. I've had one, I wish I had more, but I think this is why it makes us so special. I had this dream that I was standing in front of a team, a group of men, and I was introduced by the coach to say, "This is Shane, he is here for you. He described who I was, my character, and he said that if anyone was in need to have any support or anything that's going on in your life, that Shane is here for you. I woke up and it was that clear that I shared it with Sarah, and it was almost like being a bloke, we want to fix things, right? What do I need to do? I knew the organisation that was in the dream. Do I just go down and knock on the door and go, hey, I'm Shane, I had this dream last night, you know, I'm supposed to be here. They'll probably think I'm some sort of weirdo or ask for the security to come and get me. And then 2 weeks later, someone tapped me on the shoulder about sports chaplaincy. And I went along and did the orientation. And as soon as we started to talk about it, I knew God had placed me there for a reason. That dream, there was something there. It led on to me going on to doing some training and upskilling to then go on to be in practice of being a sports chaplain. Quite soon after that, there was a volunteer worker here, a leader, and they shoulder tapped me and said, look, we're leaving the area. Would you mind being a spokesperson or some sort of coordinator for the area? My first response was, no, that's not the plan. My plan is to do this. But after careful consideration and prayer, we felt God speaking to both Sarah and I and saying, this is too good just for you. This is bigger than you. This is for the wider community, and it's for the kingdom. And from there, we offered ourselves and said, we'll do that with restrictions. But what we found is that the more that we got involved, we were doing more of the things that we said we weren't going to do. We went from volunteer to then the work growing to going, God was wanting more of our time, which led into that means we need to be part-time. We did that. We went in faith. We're very thankful for the many people that have partnered us with prayer and financial support to do this, and this fellowship. You're a big part of that. And we thank you for every investment and prayer that you've made towards sports chaplaincy. We did that, and before we even started our first day, we had our first year fully covered financially. That was raising money and support pretty much to the day in November before Christmas and starting in the new year, having the first year all provided. God provided. A year later, we were in the same position again, doing part-time split roles, split jobs, and God was saying, I want more of your time. Full-time. So we moved into full-time, where we are here today, and we have been doing for a couple of years. It would have been easy when I had that dream to turn the other cheek. It would have been easy when that man tapped me on the shoulder and said, here's this crew come, to go, I'm sorry, it's Sunday night. I'm going to put my feet up and watch some TV. It would have been easy to turn the other cheek. The question that it came down to into coming into ministry and into the paid ministry and leaving my job, Sarah and I were in our bed, and you know when you're in a heart, you know that it's the right decision, but you can't voice it, and you sit on it. Has anyone had that experience where you just sort of know in your heart, but you can't practice it until you've blurted it out? Yeah. Well, that was me, and being a man and coming from 20, 30 odd years of providing for my family and financially supporting them and putting food on the table and giving them the things that they desire. Because the kids grow, you need to buy shirts every month for them. It came down to one night, Sarah and I were sitting in bed and we asked, what's the worst that could happen? And we just went through a very quick process. We thought, well, hey, if it goes all pear-shaped, we just go back to my old job and they'll probably give my job back. Yeah, is that really that bad? Nah, probably not. What could the worst could happen? Well, if we got into financial trouble, I suppose we could just go back to our bank and maybe remortgage or sort something out like that. And I'm sure the bank got plenty of other people's money that they could somehow put some around to us, and it's not really that bad. And it came down to that one question: what's the worst that could happen? And every fear just went away. And it wasn't until we verbally said, let's do it, and I can put myself in Abraham's shoes, that when he's been called to sacrifice his son, and you wonder what those conversations were like on the way, that when God calls you, it's clear. You don't experience fear because God has put it on your heart and everything else is taken away. And when we said, yes, we'll do it, there was no fear in the process. We still had to raise tens of thousands, really, but the fear had gone. The second point, that was a long point. Second point is faith and deeds leads to spiritual transformation. I was wondering why my time was going slow. I've done 24 hours, not 24 minutes. I'd better speed up. Sorry. Maybe give me a wink, Doug, when... Second point, faith and deeds. That's a distraction now. 24 hours. I'm getting hungry. Faith and deeds leads to spiritual transformation. When we actively live out our faith and doing good deeds, we can be ensured that when the two are working together, that transformation starts to happen. The central theme of the book of James defines perfect faith as faith accompanied by action, and that genuine faith will inevitably produce good deeds. It also goes into how Abraham was considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar. I like the footnote that is mentioned in the NIV, that we are not just justified by what we do in any way, but true faith always results in deeds. But the deeds do not justify us. Faith brings us salvation. Active obedience demonstrates that our faith is genuine. In 1 John 3:18, it says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with action and in truth." So the two points. Number one was faith becomes perfect through obedience. And two, faith and deeds leads to spiritual transformation. Now, through sports chaplaincy, we get lots of opportunities to show our faith. Sports chaplains do this by providing pastoral care and mentoring to athletes, coaches, administrators, their families, and others that may be associated with a local sports club. Sports Chaplaincy New Zealand, or SCNZ, provide accredited trained chaplains that volunteer their own time to support the mental, the emotional, and spiritual well-being across all codes of New Zealand's sporting communities. We do this providing trained, dedicated sports chaplains who offer care irrespective of their ethnicity, their religion, gender, sexuality, or disability to improve life outcomes in the communities we serve, showing Christ's love through our faith and deeds by being available and present. The service can range from a listening ear, checking in with someone if they're okay, providing affirmation or encouragement, and supporting alongside a critical incident. Over the last few years, I've been involved in chaplaincy. I was the first, I suppose, chaplain in Southland. And from being here today, it has grown to not only here regionally, not only through me, but through others, but through the whole of New Zealand as well. It has grown in a way that even my dream was about me standing in front. It has multiplied. And it's still multiplying, and it will continue to multiply. We've had some great stories, and one of them from a corporate perspective is Volleyball Southland. They rung and they wanted to access our services to have more of a spiritual input into their organisation. They'd asked if I was to be prepared to go on as an advisor on their board, which I did. And it wasn't long until our involvement that we saw where their heart and their desire was for a community. They had all these parts to bring people together to play sport, to do life together, to do community together, which is like what we do on a Sunday as a church family. But they're wanting spiritual input. It grew into saying a prayer before their board meetings, which we do regularly. And now it's grown to, even a couple of weeks ago, doing a public prayer for the beach volleyball court, for their families, and for the board, and for the environment, and for the venue that's down there, which I think you may have seen in the paper of recent. From a chaplain being available in volleyball, that has grown now to New Zealand Volleyball accepting New Zealand Sports Chaplaincy in New Zealand to be their partner in providing pastoral care through chaplaincy. So it's gone from Invercargill to New Zealand. And now what's happening, it's going from New Zealand throughout the regions. It's amazing, isn't it? God is working. It's happening in basketball as well. Sports are grabbing it. Firstly, there is a need for around pastoral care and well-being, which I'm sure that we're all familiar with coming out of lockdown and the stresses that we all face. And it seems to be that the services that we're providing is hitting the spot. It's where people are at. People want to have relationships. People want to have contact from a sports chaplain, which is exciting. We're involved with tournaments throughout the region. We're involved in teams and clubs and schools, right up to the elite of sport. People ask, how many people have prayed to receive Christ through your chaplaincy? Would it be a surprise to you if I said, and now, 5 years, I was going to say none, but actually there has been one. Praise the Lord. Do you remember that, Sarah, at our table? At our dining room table, we've had one pray to receive Christ in 5 years. In the last 3 weeks, we've had prayer opportunities in public. And what chaplaincy is coming from is planting seeds. Now, we may have stories of touching someone's heart or bringing someone to Christ, but we're planting seeds. We're showing love. We've been the hands and feet of Jesus. We're leading the rest up to God. If opportunities come to share the gospel, we will do that. But over the last 2 weeks, the opportunities in prayer, in public prayer, has just blown my mind. Last Monday, I was asked to say a prayer at the first ever Southland basketball prize giving in front of 200 people. Being able to just be thankful for the sponsors, the volunteers, the parents, and just affirm everyone who they are and that Jesus loved them through a graceful food. We've been praying for volleyball. We've been praying publicly for volleyball, for the venue, which I mentioned before. Do you know tonight there is a group of nearly 1,000 people going to be at the stadium that are getting ready for a volleyball competition? Sarah is going to be praying for them. She's going to be standing up there in front of 1,000 people and praying for the event, praying for them as athletes. 1,000 seeds. 1,000 seeds that we're scattering. We may never know the end result, but I can guarantee that there'll be other people after us that will build those. Nationally, we have gone onto an online training, and it was in-person training. We didn't know that lockdown was going to happen, but our online training was launched 2 weeks before lockdown. And because of that, our numbers nationally, we had 20 placed chaplains, 1st of April. This week, we have 47 placed chaplains. throughout New Zealand. Here in South Otago, we have 12, and we have 7 people already showing their willingness to train in January when the training opens up again. There are 40 placements opportunities throughout New Zealand in sports clubs. There's 14 here in Southland alone. 14 groups would love to have a sports chaplain. Here in Southland, with our training to date, we've had 20 trained. Some of those haven't been placed, whether they've chosen not to pursue it or they're not suitable to be placed. And we've had others that have used our training or gone on to other ventures into building the kingdom, which we're just so thankful that we've been able to invest in actually the wider community as well through what we offer. We're really thankful for the support that we have. We can't do it with the people, the backers behind us, the prayer support, the financial support, you know, the support through babysitters, the support to look after the dog, the prayer support. You know, there's so many people that are a part of what Sarah and I do, and a lot of them are here today. We just can't thank you enough for the investment that you guys have made into, not into us, but into God's kingdom. That even though that you might not be serving as a sports chaplain, you are investing into the kingdom, and we're very grateful for that. Our chaplains are coming from a wide base of churches. It's not just one church. This is what I love. It's bringing communities together. It's bringing churches together. We have chaplains from New Life churches, from Baptist churches, from Presbyterian churches, Brethren churches. It's just great to go as the body of Christ and to serve our community. You know, we see Rosedale as such a special place. And as I said before, thanks can't give enough. But you know, the heart of chaplaincy is here. It came from Rosedale. And I'm very grateful for the support and the belief that the leadership has had when I came through that door and put it in front of you as far as even just encouragement support, prayer support. You know, it's a legacy that is not only growing here in Southland, it's a legacy that is going throughout New Zealand. And I can't share a lot around more about it because of time, but so much of New Zealand's growth has come from Southland through chaplaincy. And I thank you from my heart for that. So to conclude, you know, earlier we read about Isaac carrying the wood and being sent to the altar by his father, Abraham. There is real significance in how the sacrifice of Isaac becomes precursor of Christ. And just like Jesus carried the cross, Isaac himself carried the wood to the place of sacrifice. And like the ram was offered in place of Isaac, so Jesus would die on the cross for all humankind. You know, last week, a small group of us were doing chaplaincy at the stadium for the 3-on-3 national basketball competition. The end result was that Southland won it. It was the first ever competition ever held under that format. The celebrations were high. Afterwards, there was jubilation, there was hugging, there was man embracing, sort of however men do it, fist pumps or pinochle. But the end, they get this trophy, and their name will be ingrained in the back of it. 2020, Southland. And though the trophy brings initial glory and celebration, and of course memories for a lifetime, it means nothing compared to having a personal relationship in Jesus. You know, Sarah and I was with someone not that long ago, where we found ourselves ministering to them throughout the night. It was all around who we are in Christ. After some reflection, a big part of knowing who we are starts from knowing what Jesus has done for us. That having a personal relationship in Jesus is the only way, and understanding the things Jesus can do for you that no one else can do is a great place to start. So what can Jesus do for you? Well, we know that he can pardon us from sin. But he gives purpose, he gives peace, and he gives power. Imagine a courtroom scene where you, the defendant, are tried and found guilty of a serious traffic violation. The judge is compelled by law to exact punishment, which is a hefty fine. In a surprise move, the judge comes down off the bench and to your side. Because I love you, he says, I will pay your fine. Your debt is paid, your slate wiped clean. In essence, that's what Jesus did for you and me. Jesus lived a sinless life, yet willing to die on the cross to pay the penalty of our sins. Why? It's because God loves us and wants his creation to be right in relationship with him. He sacrificed his own son to make it possible, and with that new relationship comes another wonderful benefit, eternal life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Forgiveness of sins, pardon from punishment, eternal life. Who else but Jesus can make such an offer? If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus personally, I want to give you an opportunity to individually invite Jesus into your heart, to be your Lord and Saviour. Right now, Abraham showed great awareness, faith, and character to respond to God by responding, "Here I am." Twice. If God is calling your name out today, can I encourage you to make the most significant decision in your life by responding, "Here I am." If this is you today, you can respond by saying a simple prayer like this. Lord Jesus, I want to know you personally. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I open the door of my life and receive you as my Saviour and Lord. Thank you for forgiving my sins and giving me eternal life. Take control of my life. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. If you are here today and you haven't made that decision, I'm just going to say it again, just once more. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or to make it an embarrassing event for you. You don't even need to say the words out loud. It's your heart. And you can repeat it after me. Let's bow our eyes. Lord Jesus, I want to know you personally. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I open the door of my life and receive you as my Saviour and Lord. Thank you for forgiving my sins and giving me eternal life. Take control of my life. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Amen. If you've prayed this prayer by faith, you can be sure that on the trustworthiness of God's word, that you are now a child of God. Your sins are forgiven and you have begun the great adventure of knowing Jesus personally. If you have made that decision, you know, I encourage you, before you leave today, come and say hi. I'd love to pray for you. If you know the leadership team that are in place here, grab one of them. And just to share that, and just to know that you can journey this together. Whatever you're facing, we can do this together as a church family. If today is not right, if you're part of a connect group, if your wife or husband, just tell someone so we can pray for you. Someone can pray for you so you don't have to walk alone. Amen. Thank you.